Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, geek boys and girls. This is David. Just chilling, Geek Legacy Podcast, Randy and Justin, just low-key, you know, nothing too serious. How you guys doing today?
Fabulous, thank you.
I like how we're keeping it all mellow and low-key, like we're just kind of that thing that you bang on the side. You don't really talk about it, you never talk about, like, what your official relationship status is, but, yeah. You know, when it's one of those dark and cold nights, you just might get a text saying, hey, what's up?
You get one of those you up texts. We're a side piece. We're a side piece, you know?
Exactly.
We ain't ashamed. It's okay. We do you right. You doing good, Randy? You good with me, the side piece? You need that commitment.
Wait. New phone, who dis?
Exactly. My favorite is like when they text back like an air message, like Air 3034, the user you're trying to reach.
It sounds like you've been through this before.
Now, I'm just a fan of clickbait articles.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for, like, autofill corrects. Even though I know they're all fake, I still click on all of them. Or anything that ends with, you'll never believe what happened next, I'm like, I gotta know.
Yeah. It'll be like 30 of this and that, you won't believe number 2. And you're like, God damn it. I gotta go through 28 assholes to find out what the interesting one is.
And you have to click, it's like one thing per page. You have to click 28 times to find it.
I know, they're the worst.
She walked in. She walked into a mall naked. What happened next, you won't believe. I'm like, well, I need to know.
Yeah, and if you're on your phone, forget about it, because then the ads just get in the way, and then all of a sudden some random page pops up. At least if you're on your computer, you can kind of wade through all the bullshit.
And next thing you know, you're at the App Store and fucking Angry Birds is popping up.
Yeah. Exactly.
God damn it. Is that who's behind this?
Yeah, the ones that are the worst are like when they jump. Yeah. I hate those ones. Like they jump like 2 inches. And so like you click where it's supposed to be and like it just knows like when you're going to click. And like, just, like jumps like an inch. And then next thing you know, you're in the App Store fucking getting Candy Crush.
Don't like it.
Son of a bitch.
What I don't get is my phone asks me, is it okay to open this in the App Store? I hit no, but it still opens the App Store.
Yep, it's all lies and deceit.
Fucking Apple. You're so dumb, Apple.
Fucking, oof. I was almost going to say that your phone finger raped you, but that might be a little divisive in this day and age.
Yeah.
Speaking of divisive, hey, I hear we have an internet celebrity in our midst. David, you're big in China right now on the Warcraft trailer.
Well, yeah, because I'm like 6'4" and everyone in China is like 5'8". So I'm a big dude.
Touche. So tell us what an exciting week you've had.
I had a pretty fun week. My phone's been blown up with people asking me every question. It would end with, "Well, is it an absolute marvel of storytelling?" So Geek Legacy. We got two shoutouts in the newest TV spot for Warcraft, which I actually saw on TV yesterday. And we were quoted twice.
Yeah.
Geek Legacy. Not just David. But mostly, yeah. 5 stars.
Oh, yeah. 5 stars and an absolute marvel of storytelling. Not, well, it doesn't suck, as Randy likes to say.
Yeah, they don't use my quotes.
That's cool. I mean, it's fun.
That would have been a good one. Doesn't suck.
We were saying that, like, hey, that's how it goes on a movie quote. Now we finally got one on in our ranks, so we got two.
Yeah,
so,
put that on the box. He says, right. "I can't wait." If your 5 stars or your quote ends up on the Blu-ray, I am scoring that shit.
Oh, you're gonna buy it anyway.
Oh yeah, I will. I absolutely love the movie. As just one of those people that is just sucking up all these summer blockbuster movies, I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah, I mean, how rad was it you got to see, like, the Great Forge and Iron Forge?
I mean,
and it was just chilling in the background, you know, Lothar and Bronzebeard just chatting in there in the background. Oh, God, I made shit over there. Like my character could be back there, like, forging, like, green iron pants right now. It's like a level, like, 22 blacksmith back there.
One of my favorite moments that resonated with me the most was And near the end, when you see the explosion at Karazhan and everything just dies.
Yeah.
And that's the Karazhan that we know.
Deadwind Pass.
Deadwind Pass, the broken bridge. It all just kind of fucked up. That looked cool. I was like, man, you know how many times I stood in front of that broke-ass, derelict-looking castle? That's it right there, man. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and his buddy was Morose.
Yeah, Morose, exactly.
An asshole who would disappear and garroch you in freaking Karazhan. I think that there was so many like Burning Crusade Easter eggs in this to where I work with someone who started playing like near the end of Lich King, and she liked it, but she didn't like have like as many like oh my god moments as I think we did because we were so entrenched in Karazhan. They're like, dude, that's Karazhan. That's where I spent like 6 hours a week for like 2 years.
Yeah. It was a real piece of shit.
Yeah, and I thought it was really good fan service. You know, and some of it was a little extreme. Like, I like that the King of Stormwind left Stormwind Castle to go to the Lion's Inn in Goldshire just so we could, like, be excited. Like, oh my god, that's Goldshire! Because we're all humans and we've all been there, but maybe you should have that meeting in Stormwind.
Yeah.
Right.
Behind those castle walls.
Yeah. We got a bunch of races. We got Draenei. We got dwarves, we got humans, we got high elves, and we got orcs. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I dug it.
Yeah, you said you had some questions about the movie, though.
I did. So, I mean, some of them are kind of revealing, I guess, in some way, but...
That's fine. Do you want to throw a spoiler warning?
Yeah, well, so, in Warcraft 3, the game, that is, I thought I remember Medivh meeting with... Thrall and saying, hey, you're going to want to get your ass to Mars, a.k.a. Kalimdor, and let your people thrive. How does he have that conversation with Thrall when in this movie he's a baby and Medivh doesn't make it to the end? And is it just the echo of Medivh that's talking
to him? Yeah, yeah. And so there's at some points it's like it's been kind of retconned to be Khadgar. And in some cases, it's not like the Medivh you know. Like, Medivh has passed on, like, being the guardian to Khadgar, but there's still, like, this, like, piece of him. And so this movie takes place during Warcraft 1. So this is the initial invasion of orcs and humans, you know. So Thrall, you know, is still a baby like we saw in the movie. You know, he's not grown up. He's not the war chief. And so things are very much being put in motion. That's why Durotan in this movie gets a lot more love, to where in the initial storyline there wasn't really that much. Durotan didn't do that much just because the original story was told from the point of view of the humans. The orcs were bad, and so there was no need to have a sympathetic voice within the orcs because orcs were just bad villains and stuff like that. So Medivh goes he's the one who tries to get Thrall to go sail east to Kalimdor, and or west to Kalimdor, I guess, and him and Jaina.
Oh yeah, Jaina.
Yeah, who's not in very high standing in the current Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
She got kicked out of Kirin Tor.
And then I thought I had another. Who or what ends up raising Thrall when he's just a little bitty baby?
Would you remember the first Caverns of Time instant, Old Hillsbrad? So Thrall is raised by humans.
Oh, that's right, and he's in the jail cell and everything, right?
Yeah, so he's a slave and he's forced to fight as a gladiator, and so he's in like these internment camps with the other orcs, and at one point he ends up in an internment camp with Orgrim Doomhammer, and Doomhammer is kind of. You know, I guess he maybe senses something, you know, he obviously doesn't recognize him, but he puts together that this is the son of Durotan. And at the time, Ogrim is the war chief. And, you know, obviously the horde is in great shambles. And so he bequeaths Doomhammer to Thrall, and he tells Thrall about Durotan and I can't remember his mom's name off the top of my head, tells about his mom and stuff like that. And then he becomes the Thrall that we all know and love. He gets the glow.
Ooh, when he got the glow.
Yeah, but he's got his girlfriend like that, Tabitha, the one in Old Hillsbrad. He's kind of got a little bit of a baby crush on.
Oh.
Before his full crush with Jaina.
Is Draka his mama?
That's it, Draka. Thank you. I was going to say Agra, but that's Thrall's wife.
Yeah.
And then also, it's interesting that in the original telling of the lore, Blackhand is the war chief, and Gul'dan is kind of like behind the scenes manipulating Blackhand. He's not, it's not where Gul'dan really is pulling the strings. He's not up front and center. He has Blackhand be kind of like the puppet on a string, and he's just manipulating him.
Gotcha.
But I thought Gul'dan looked awesome in this movie.
Gul'dan looked badass. I didn't realize the spikes were in his body. I thought that was part of his wardrobe.
Yeah, same here.
That was pretty badass.
And I liked how all the orcs called him out as a cheater. Like, you're a real piece of shit. And I feel like that has something to do with anyone that's ever PvP'd against a warlock. You're just like, man, those motherfuckers.
Fearing me?
This is what they do. They're just scandalous sons of bitches. They are the rogues of the casters.
Yeah.
They're just full of shit.
But yeah, I loved Gul'dan.
Spell chuckers, is that what they call them?
Spell chuckers. I thought the spells were rad, like when they start up in portals and stuff like that. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
I did get worried with Khadgar. Remember that live action Dungeons and Dragons movie that came out like 16 years ago or so?
Harlan Wayans?
Yeah. When I first got introduced to Khadgar, the first thing I thought of was that Dungeons and Dragons movie. I was like, oh, great.
Yeah, the rogue that also had, like, magic in him.
Yeah.
For, like, the six people who saw that movie.
Mm-hmm. Dumb.
That ends with, like, ends on a cliffhanger. Like, there was gonna be a part two.
Yeah, it doesn't work out.
Yeah, like, Marlon Wayans disappears, and, like, the whole... They, like, all band together. We're going to go get them. And then it cuts to black. Like, oh, sweet, they're going to come back? Nope. They ain't getting the back band back together.
Yeah. What does Moreau say? How terribly clumsy of me? That's what he says, right, in the game?
How terribly
clumsy of me. Yeah, Moreau's is cool.
Yeah, every second they were in Karazhan, I was like, oh, man.
I thought for sure that Gollum was going to be the curator.
Yeah, that's what I was telling
right now. I totally thought that's what it was going to be. I was like, man, the menagerie is now open, or whatever he says.
Tier 4 pants or shoulders.
Yeah.
Tier 4 something, I don't remember.
It wasn't pants. Pants were off of...
Prince?
No, pants were off of...
Head was Prince, I think.
Gruul's lair.
Oh, that's right. And shoulders were off of Mactheridon.
No, chest was off Mactheridon.
Yeah, what the fuck do I know? Not a goddamn thing, I guess.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, when we were
leaving... I think it was gloves. I think it was gloves.
Sounds right.
Gloves was curator, and then helm was Prince. Pants were Gruul's. Shoulders were the council, and chest was... Mactheridon. If memory serves me correct.
Too bad we didn't have an opera in this movie.
Mm. Yeah. Crazy. I don't know. It was fun. And we got to see Dalaran, which is neat.
Oh, yeah. Look, rat.
Okay, he's like, am I supposed to go in that? I don't know. I've never done that before. It's got to be scary when some high-ass mage has no idea what the hell is going on.
Yeah, the head of your order is like, I don't. You're on your own, buddy. Yeah. Let me know what happens.
I thought Stormwind was fantastic. I got the chills when the queen gave Garona the dagger, because I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think for me, maybe I just never really understood what had happened, but I thought that it was a mystery as to why Garona murdered the king.
Correct.
Like, there was no real answer to that story, like why she betrayed them.
Right. Yeah. She's tainted by Medivh, and Medivh, like, psychically orders her to kill the king, and she basically kills the king in, like, the middle of Stormwinds.
But that's different than what happened in the most.
Correct. Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I never really knew. I remember her having ties to Karazhan. And then there's, like, the ring, you know, like, her signet. That was something that actually dropped in the actual instance, for crying out loud. But
yeah. We got to see the future king, Varian Wrynn.
Yeah.
Anduin. rode out into the sunset without Lothar. Idiot.
Wait, what?
What?
What'd you say? Anduin Lothar is the brother-in-law, right? The right-hand man?
Correct, yeah.
And then...
King Lane is the king.
Yeah, he's the king, and his son is
Varian.
Varian.
Yeah.
Who names his son Anduin in the future.
Correct, yeah.
After his uncle.
Yeah, and Varian is the current king until the next expansion. Spoiler alert.
He's not going to make it. Yeah, there's a lot of names.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't get any trolls, obviously, because you know they're on the east. You know they're in Kalimdor, which is a whole other continent.
Yeah, no trolls, no taurens.
Yeah, same thing. Taurens are over there, so you wouldn't see them. Same thing with goblins. Goblins are over there.
Oh yeah. There's a lot going on, and for those of you that never played the game and that are listening to this, we're just nerding out because there's a lot of fun things that we've been dealing with, but you could have never played World of Warcraft for a second in your life and still find joy in this movie. They give you enough information to enjoy what you're seeing.
Not as much joy as we got, but still joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they showed the Murloc, I'm like, oh my god, it's a fucking Murloc.
Yeah, and I mean, to a way, it's even a little bit of a learning experience for us because this takes place in a different time than what we're used to playing, which is kind of cool, too.
Yeah, I mean, it takes
not
place
all
during
shit that we've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes place during Warcraft 1, which came out at a time when, you know, the biggest chunk of the story you got was like the 2-page instruction manual.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it is just inferring things.
Yep.
Yeah. In part 2, they can kill Lothar. Blackhand can kill him.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, Blackhand. Yeah, and so that's another thing. So this fucking guy, he's a real bad dude, but he's part of the Blackrock clan.
Correct.
And it's he kind of has some weird kids. Like his daughter gets disowned because she starts mating with like an ogre and shit. I don't know. And then he's got two boys, and one of them I think is even in Blackrock Spire, the instance. I forget his name, but I'm pretty sure that one of his kids is in the actual...
Yeah, like Rend or some shit.
Yeah. Which is kind of fun. But whatever. Enough talk. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I would go so far as to say it's an absolute marvel of storytelling, mm-hmm. but I definitely enjoyed it. It is not one of those forgetful summer blockbusters that we fall victim to every year.
Yeah. It's at like 300 million worldwide, so you know we're on our way to... reaching whatever magical number that Blizzard and Legendary had in mind for sequel territory. And so, I mean, so hopefully we'll see the story continue.
Do you want a direct sequel or do you want to jump into our time?
I wanted to jump into Thrall's, like Warcraft 3, like Thrall time. Like I want the next one to be adult Thrall.
Sure.
Like
Rise of the Horde.
Yeah. Something cool like that. Like maybe end it with Thrall being sent west to Kalimdor.
Speaking of which, at the very beginning, when they're going through the portal and they're saying, for the Horde, that was when we were yelling that at BlizzCon.
Yeah. And at the end, when they were like, for the Alliance, that was when we were yelling at BlizzCon. Like, I heard myself.
Yeah. You're the loudest in your row.
That's right. And how? What did you think, Randy? In 5 seconds or less?
I liked it.
Or as long as you want.
No, I totally enjoyed it. It's just one of those things where I'll stand behind what I originally said. If you've played any of the games, you're absolutely going to love seeing the lore come to life in front of you. But if you're not familiar with it, you're going to be like, what the fuck did I just watch? And be really confused. It's going to be pretty and it will have been cool, but you're not going to really get it the same way that we get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like the way that China gets it. China gets it.
Even though they don't farm gold anymore.
Yeah, no, that's all the gold farmers wanting to see it. They want it to be popular so they can bring gold farming back, even though Blizzard sells gold now, so they don't need gold farmers.
I'm surprised it took them so long to do that.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, well, it's a cool system, too, because it's you buy free game time and you can sell it, and so people who have gold can use gold to pay for their game time, and people who have money can get gold. So, it's a fun little system.
And how?
And how? What about Game of Thrones? Speaking of fantasy worlds, I know Justin loved this episode of Game of Thrones, right?
I did. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. It was good. There are a couple things that bothered me. I don't like how there weren't any notable on-screen deaths. People died off-screen, which means... Well, one of them we know died for sure, because we saw a face on a wall. And then, but the other one, as far as Blackfish goes, we don't know what the story is there.
Right.
I don't like that.
They died.
Yeah, they say, but we didn't see it. And that's the thing with this show. If you don't see it, did it really happen?
Yeah, the phrase could have easily taken him to take back to Walder.
Yeah, real piece of shit.
Man,
but,
I hate every Frey.
But I did like seeing the mountain rip a guy's head off.
Yeah.
I cringed when the king outlawed trial by combat. I loved it when the Hound showed up to the real Brotherhood without banners.
They're like negotiating like how many he gets to kill.
Yeah, that was good. That's just good television, man. That was fun.
I thought he was going to be a dick and just kick over the third one, too.
It would have been cute. Everything about the Hound is just awesome. And that's a character that was so, like, awful at the beginning. You just thought that this guy was just the worst of the worst. And here he is just playing right into our hearts, and we love everything he says and does.
Same thing with Jamie. Like, this episode was, like I thought Jamie was, like, going to, like, sympathize with Edmure. He's, like, has this real heart-to-heart with him. And in the end, he's like, I don't fucking care about you. I don't care about your kid. All I care about is getting back to Cersei. So if I have to bring your child here, put him in a catapult, and shoot him into the wall, I'll do that. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was good. Oh, man, I love that. And I love the look on that asshole's face when Edmure Tully told him to open up the gates.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. That's what you get.
And he did it.
Yep. Booker,
what about you, Randy? What did you think of the episode? The size says it all.
No, there were so many moments that I just absolutely adored. I loved every second of it. And I know I'm mentally preparing myself. I am stealing my soul right now for what is going to be a really epic episode 9 of this season.
Mm-hmm.
The Battle of the Bastards.
Yes.
Which looks like it's going to be all that. Like there was no other scenes from any other storyline.
That's what you
in the
think.
Trailer.
And then just before something amazing happens, it's going to cut to fucking Gilly and the Fett.
Oh. No, I mean the trailers for the following episodes are usually pretty faithful. And I just have to imagine like this is just like their. I mean, maybe we won't get the whole episode, but I bet it gets the vast majority.
Sure. And then they're gonna cut off Ramsay's penis and send it to Greyjoy so he can wear it.
Yeah, you drop this. We found this one. Thought it'd be a nice replacement.
Yeah. Detachable penis.
Who's gonna put? I washed it. I put it back on.
That's a song.
Yeah.
Prime.
Fucking 90s.
Okay, a couple of things. Arya. This is a storyline that has dragged on for far too long. Considering the payoff that we got, I honestly believe that this could have been over and done with at the end of last season. Last season could have ended with her leaving this place.
Could end it. Season 4 could end it that way. Because did she go at the end of season 2?
No, season 4, she was on... At the end of season 4, she was on the boat. To go
really?
To Bravos, yeah.
She was only in Bravos for 1.5 seasons?
Yes.
I would have swore it was like 3.
Nope. She showed up outside of the whatever it's called, the building of black and white or whatever the fuck it's called.
House of Black and White?
There you go. And that was at the beginning of last season.
Whoa!
Exactly. And the fact that it feels like it's taken this long is just even more absurd. It definitely should have only lasted less than a season. That payoff just wasn't there.
I agree. I've never been a big Arya fan, and this whole Bravos thing, you know, I think everyone was saying was telling me I was dumb because it was gonna be great payoff, and the payoff I got was that she wants to go to Westeros and kill people. Well, she was already on Westeros wanting to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Am I an asshole?
Now she's a trained assassin, though.
Whoop-de-doo, Basil. She could have been trained by the Hound.
At least the Hound.
Remember, we like her.
Yeah,
I like the Hound just coming and killing people.
Yeah, he's fantastic, man.
He's getting his revenge. Girls trying to kill him. Better girls than you have tried to kill him.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And he's referring to both Arya and
Brienne,
yeah.
Which I'm still shocked how much I'm liking Brienne on the show, because I hate her in the book so much.
Yeah. that was another great scene when she's on the boat with Pod, and Jaime just kind of, you know, sees her, almost smiles and waves.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely a goodbye. You know, like it sucks that we're on opposite teams right now.
Yeah, it was a great little reunion when they got back together and she tried to give him the sword. And he's like, no, you keep it. And she's like, it's probably like 15 swords in the world. Like, he's like, I just keep it.
And that's another thing, too, because that was Ned Stark's sword that got melted down. And it really bothers me that she's using that sword to protect Sansa. I mean, it's cool in some ways that it is her sword, but at the same time, it's an insult to me that they murdered her father, melted down his sword, and put a lion head on the hilt.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
And then Joffrey had the other one.
Yeah.
We don't know where that one. Did we ever find... Does the book say where the other one went after Joffrey dies?
No, I don't think so.
Eh, just give it to the mountain. Not that he needs a sword.
He might have been buried with it.
Then find Valyrian steel. Yeah, that Kevin Lannister, he's got something coming his way.
Oh, yeah. He is a real piece of work, too.
Well, I don't know. Varys did leave.
He's on his way. That made me laugh. And they had a really sweet moment, too. Tyrion and Varys.
The most famous dwarf in Meereen.
Yeah.
The most famous dwarf in the world.
Works for me.
Yeah, I liked them together. And Daenerys came back, and I didn't care.
Oh, yeah. With the rumbling on the roof?
Yeah.
How about on the roof?
Like, it's probably a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it left. I expected to see it, like, raising the ships with fire as it left, but...
Yeah, so that's the thing. How much money are they going to spend? Are they going to use the dragon to burn all those ships, and then through the rubble, the Ironborn are going to show up on their ships? You think that's how it'll work out? Because they're not going to have ship-to-ship battles. That costs too much money. I think they'll just have a dragon burn fake ships, and then they'll sink, and they'll say, oh, we could have used those ships to go to Westeros, and then, look, there's more ships coming, and then it'll be...
Avast!
And then it'll be the Greyjoys.
I don't think we get a resolution to it, and I think this season either ends with the Iron Fleet coming in to engage with the slavers, or we're just left with like a cliffhanger with like Daenerys at the pyramid. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds ridiculous because there's two episodes left, but I do think the next episode will be 90% Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, they tend to do that with
the ninth episode.
Yeah.
And it's directed by the guy who did the Hard Holdem episode, so we know that...
Good
the,
episode.
We know he knows what he's doing. That's probably my favorite episode of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's directing the last two episodes, which will both be longer episodes. So next episode will be a full 60 minutes of supposed content, not counting, you know, previously on. And the final episode will be 69 minutes. So it'll be the longest episode yet.
Wow.
So, yeah. So we got...
It's going to be Samwell Tarly teaching Gilly how to read.
Yes. On the run.
Yeah.
Because his father's going to come for his sword. Stupid Valyrian steel. does Samwell, does he kill his dad or does Gilly?
I think Sam does.
What say you, Randy?
I say Sam does as well.
He's going to man up.
With a fucking dragon glass dagger.
Not with his own Valyrian steel sword?
Nah.
Gotta go Dragonglass.
No, that guy's fucking... He's as cold as a White Walker.
Ooh.
See what I did there?
I did. I appreciate it. Speaking of cold, Randy, you were a huge fan of that snuff film Passion of the Christ. Now
I'm an even bigger fan of its filmmaker, Mel Gibson.
And his political views.
No, I'm thinking more about his Mad Max roles.
Didn't we do like a true or false list with him once? Who said this? And it was like horrible things. It was like,
yes,
Hitler or Mel Gibson.
It was something like that.
It was. I'm trying to remember who, because I did the game. I'm trying to remember who it was that. I can't remember who the other quote was, but yeah, it was who said this, Mel Gibson or someone far worse.
Yeah.
Nope, that was actually Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, that was funny shit.
So if you got your rocks off watching Jesus get tortured for 2.5 hours, I guess you can look forward to the sequel where we get to see the resurrection part of that tale, to where he goes, where he's seen 8 more times by his disciples, like Mary Magdalene. Robert Wallace, who wrote the original, he's back for this one. Gibson says he's more than happy to direct it. I'm sure he'll self-finance it just like he did Passion of the Christ. I mean, when you turn $30 million into, you know, $800 million, it's, you know, you're pretty good at your job.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you make Apocalyptico next.
Oh, that movie was pretty intense.
If it were in English, I'd agree with you. Too much reading.
There was a lot of reading.
Braveheart, they spoke English. And you know what? Braveheart's awesome. But if they were speaking Scottish the whole time. Is Scottish... No, I guess Scottish is English. I'll just be quiet now.
Oh, my goodness. Is the Easter Bunny going to show up in the Passion of the Christ sequel?
I hope so.
Was it the bunny that moved the rock so Jesus could get out of the cave?
Yeah, looking for eggs.
where did I hide these eggs? I always forget.
Is Monica Bellucci going to come back to reprise the role as Mary Magdalene?
Maybe.
I like her.
Are the manger babies going to be in it?
Maybe.
I like the manger babies.
Saw a terrible meme. It was a picture of Jesus, and he was talking. It was like, look, he's like talking to his dad, and he's like, "I was in Mary before you were." Send all hate mail to Justin. Likes
not me. No one hates me.
I mean, do we want a sequel to this movie? Is
it nope.
Interest you?
Nope.
I mean, the first one made a shitload of money.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
But it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, Jesus has been around for a couple thousand years, so what's 10 years in the grand scheme of things?
But I have a really
nice cinematic telling of his tale.
I think it was more questioning like why now though. Like I mean, I understand you make $800 million. I mean, you're gonna have a sequel.
Well, just... you know, Mel Gibson playing villains in movies like Machete and fucking Expendables will only carry him so far before he needs more cash. Mm.
Maybe it'll be a prequel.
Ooh.
Maybe. I think
Jesus
I think
First Class.
Yeah. I would see Jesus First Class if Matthew Vaughn directed it. Can you imagine the stylized Jesus action he'd have going on there? The church scene have a whole new meaning.
Yeah, but he's not going to be in his blue makeup except for like 5 minutes of the movie.
Mm. I like...
He's getting too big for those pictures.
Yeah. Good callback. I think they're pretty set on the resurrection. So we'll see. I'm sure the religious folk will go out in droves. I remember that was a big thing. There were like whole congregations were seeing like renting out theaters and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at least this time though, it's not going to be a 3-hour snuff film. It'll be a little bit more uplifting.
It'll be 4 hours of him just like looking down on them, like, why didn't you say so? Why didn't you stop them?
Yeah. You just sat there and watched.
I thought you had my back.
You're a piece of shit, you know that?
It was a character building exercise.
No, I didn't. I thought you had it. I thought you had this one.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's this?
I don't know. What is it? Is it The Predator with Chris Hansen?
Oh shit.
Yeah, I'm recording right now. This is live.
What are we recording? Live.
My intern just showed up with a scone or something. What is this? A chocolate turnover.
Whatever it is, spit it out and say it sucks.
Go back and give me another one. This is terrible. Thank you, Corey. It's hard. Is it supposed to be hard?
Donuts are hard.
Is that why it was free?
They're flaky.
It's day old.
This one's... We could kill somebody with this thing.
I like how you call him your intern.
Yeah. You guys don't have interns over there?
I got one under my desk right now.
Oh, man.
I got interns, but they're my kids.
Oh, that works, too.
I make them go to movies with me.
Do they make Nike shoes for you, too?
No. Their hands are too small for that. They need to be a little bit bigger.
Oh.
For sure.
The Predator has big hands.
Oh, yeah? And claws.
He can arm wrestle Arnold and touch kids. What kind of Predator are we talking about here?
Yeah. What are you guys' thoughts on dreadlocks, by the way? They're ugly and gross, right?
Yeah, they...
Yeah, they're poop. they're poop. Rolled into your hair.
I don't think that's accurate.
I think that's 100% accurate.
I think you wipe with your hair at a certain point in time. No. And that's how dreadlocks start.
There was this girl on my vacation who was very pretty, and she had these like super long white dreadlocks, but they were gross and they smelled. So if you have dreadlocks, your hair smells.
They were
so you know.
white dreadlocks?
Like she had white hair.
Oh, interesting.
So, just so you guys know, if you have dreadlocks, your hair smells bad.
Yeah, well, because it's not it's unkept.
Yeah, none of your friends. Yeah, none of your friends are nice enough. Yeah, it's all brown. None of your friends are nice enough to you to let you know that your dreadlocks smell. No matter what you put in them, they smell.
That's
the more you know.
So now the Predator there.
With dreadlocks.
With the dreads, the natty dread. He's coming back, and Shane Black is directing him. Kind of cool.
That's super exciting.
Danny Glover is coming out of retirement, even though he's too old for this shit.
Nope.
Mel Gibson is going to take on the Predator this time.
Did either of you like or see Predators, the Adrian Brody one?
Yes.
I did.
Saw it. Enjoyed it.
Wasn't it like 80 minutes long? It was super short.
Yeah, it was short.
Robert Rodriguez movie.
Remember in the trailer when like a bunch of red lasers showed up on Adrian Brody?
Yeah.
I don't even know if that made it into the movie.
No, it didn't.
Apparently a lot got cut out because it is a short-ass movie.
That's good. These movies should be short. Like, some movies, you know, are worth, you know, like we're talking Braveheart. You know, that's worth the 3 hours.
I don't think so.
Some movies don't need to be 3 hours.
I think Braveheart could have been just as good if it were two.
I don't know. I watched it the other day because when I was in Costa Rica, I was watching it in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn it, I really want to watch this movie. But I had to wait till I got home to watch it.
Hmm.
And it holds up.
That's pretty good that they were able to speak Spanish.
Yeah, the Irish.
With Spanish accent. Yeah.
They're talking Spanish with an Irish accent.
That'd be great.
That's humor. They're talented, those voice actors.
Mm-hmm. And how. I'm ready for more Predator. But that's coming from a guy that just eats up that universe. I like aliens. I like Predators. I'll watch anything that they make. I'm just that sucker.
I think I'm over Alien Predators. I think I'm just over it.
Really?
I think I am. I mean, I'll see it when it comes out. Maybe it'll reinvigorate. You know, obviously I love the first Predator. I love fucking the Schwarzenegger movie. And I love, you know, the first 2.5. I'll even say the third one because Fincher's director's cut for Alien 3 is pretty badass. So I like the first three Aliens. But then after that, it's just kind of been a shit show.
Oh, man.
The first AVP was fun for what it was. You know, it was a nice little fun romp, but... Yeah, I'm just kind of over this universe, but I know I'm the minority. I know Randy loves all this shit.
He's got toys. He's got reaction.
Yeah, from the original ones. He's not busting out his fucking, what's her name, from Winona Ryder action figure from Alien Resurrection.
Oh.
And which they did make, by the way.
No, they made a action figure?
Yeah, they made a whole line of figures for Alien 4 that I just was never into.
Did they make a Dan Hedaya action figure?
A who?
Dan Hedaya, he's the dad from Clueless. He was the military leader of the base.
In part four? I honestly don't remember. I remember they made a couple different aliens. They made a Ripley. They made a Call. And then they made like a Ripley alien.
Did they make a Ron Perlman?
No. I think it was just the two chicks and then the aliens is all I remember anyway. They may have made more. I never collected them. Now, Kenner, the same company that made all the vintage Star Wars stuff, they did a whole aliens line in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s. That was really cool that all the aliens had like action features and there was like
they one. They had the loader. They had the loader bot
thing. Yeah. Yeah, they had one that you could push a button and it would explode, like, from battle damage. And they had, like, all the Marines from Aliens. But they were all, like, animated, cartoony looking. They weren't movie realistic.
Like the Terminator toys were.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. God, I think I still have those over at my dad's house. Those were super fun.
I remember the commercial. It was, like, two boys playing with them. And they're like, come on, Hudson! And they're like, yeah, Hicks! And go get him, Ripley! Just cheesy dialogue like that.
Yeah, totally.
Because they can't quote the horrifically R-rated movie.
Yeah.
No.
They're like, get away from her, you bitch!
Yeah, they had like a giant queen alien and everything. Goddamn, that was a fun line. and speaking of which, they actually made a Predator line to go with it. And there was a mail-away, a good old-fashioned cutouch proofs of purchase and mail-away for an invisible Predator.
That's pretty sweet. They were tall, too. Nice. I remember them being big figures.
Yeah, they were like 5 inches tall. Yeah. Like the same size as like the Star Trek Next Generation and
stuff. They were that awkward size.
Yeah.
Good shit. That one company, what is it, like NECA or whatever?
Yeah.
They make Predator. They actively make Predator figures and Pacific Rim figures and shit like that.
But they have pretty high quality stuff.
Yeah, they have like 30 different Predators in their in their line. And I only know that because I see the email like once a month.
I was going to say, they just sent us an email about, I think it was, it was the Bill and Ted's one. The Bill and Ted's DVD set.
Oh, yeah.
with like a 12-inch like Rufus.
They always make really cool shit, but it costs $1 billion. So I'm just like, I'm not interested.
That's cool.
You're like, oh, that's pretty sweet. If, you know, one of those things where if you went to your friend's house and they had a life-size Xenomorph, you'd be like, dude, that's fucking badass. I would never own one of these, but I'm glad that you do.
Like, I don't got I'm glad someone does.
I mean, I wouldn't want it, but
you. Each to each their own.
Yeah.
Did they ever release their Dark Crystal line, Randy?
No, not yet. It's coming. It's coming later this year.
That's what she said.
And, in fact, who knows? There might even be stuff at San Diego. Who knows?
But
They haven't, like, any of the Funko Reaction stuff for 2016, including the Back to the Future 2 line and fucking E.T. And there's a lot of properties that are scheduled to release in 2016. We have not even seen photos of them, much less heard any kind of release date. But I have seen pictures of a lot of the Dark Crystal stuff, prototypes of the packaging and the figures. And I think that's going to be one of the first of the 2016 lines to hit. Maybe we'll either see them available during San Diego or we'll at least find out, you know, from them then when they're going to be available.
Nice.
They always have some really cool exclusives for the conventions. Like, that's where you can get the, a couple years ago, it's where you could get Sloth from the Goonies with his actual Superman emblem on his shirt, the way he appeared in the movie. But you could only get him that way at San Diego Comic-Con, the one that was available at retail. For whatever reason, whatever deal they had with Warner Brothers, they could not show the Superman logo. So
it's not a S.
It's so weird. Well, it's just hope. A straight blue shirt. Yeah,
hope starts like, with an H.
Isn't I hope Zack Snyder is not directing the next one?
Oh, had to work that into the
Justin started it. I'm content with never talking about him again. But, if attacked, I would defend myself.
I can't help it. It's funny. I'm sorry.
No, what else is funny? Mallrats.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
That you was
care
funny.
For a chocolate pretzel?
Yeah. Meanwhile, your hands left smelling like your ass.
Yeah.
The price you pay for the smiting of one's enemies.
Crush your enemies.
Yeah. Do you guys care about the follow-up to Mallrats? Is that something that interests you at this moment?
I
love Mallrats. I really, truly do. And I was so excited when I heard there was going to be a Mallrats 2. It was always rumored to be Die Hard set in a mall. And then it was going to incorporate like millennials more or less making fun of them. It was going to be called Mall Brats for a while. I don't know if that's even still a thing, but
I'm still really hopeful for the idea of it. I think I would just rather see it as a movie than as a 10-episode TV series, but who knows? And I think Kevin Smith, when he's talking about this, is just kind of like a very like stream of consciousness. He's just kind of riffing. That's what he wants to do. I don't know if that's actually going to be what he pursues, but I'm still hoping that it happens to some degree. And whether it's a movie or a 10-episode series, I'll watch it either way. I just hope that the original cast, as much as possible, comes back.
Yeah, like Shannon.
Fun would have Shannon. I'd almost prefer it to like be like the next generation. I know that's counterproductive to, you know, what most people want, but I think it'd be fun to, like, you know, this is 20 years later, you know, have a new crop of people, and you can have cameos. You know, Jason Lee can cameo, and Ben Affleck could maybe cameo if he's feeling up to it. I'm sure he's moved well beyond Kevin Smith, but, you know, if it's for fun, he might do it. But like Randy was saying, yeah, it was just, I don't think there's nothing on paper. He was just on some radio show in like Pennsylvania, just kind of just shooting the shit with them, saying, hey, I'd love to do this. Because Yoga Hosers is not good.
What is that?
That's his new movie with his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter and Johnny Depp. His follow-up to Tusk.
I don't even know what that is.
It's part two of his True North trilogy.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp. Third being Moose Jaws. It's Jaws with a moose.
Welcome to Mooseport.
No, not the Ray Romano Gene Hackman classic.
That made Gene Hackman quit acting, you know.
I'm sure it did. There was a funny sketch on John Oliver talking about like how often you should like update your financial portfolio. It's like you should update your financial portfolio as often as you think about, is Gene Hackman alive? So once a year. And yes, Gene Hackman is alive.
So what is Moose Jaws? I'm sorry.
It's the movie Jaws, but with a moose instead of a shark.
Are you
seeing and like set in Canada.
Like Ghost in the Darkness, but with a moose.
Huh. This is a Canadian thing?
Yeah.
I don't think he'll ever make it. So, well, it depends. Did you like Tusk? Did you see Tusk?
I never saw it. I want to.
What did you say, Justin?
Is that the same moose?
No. It this one's got a walrus.
I was gonna say I don't think meese have Tusk.
Is it Meese?
Yeah, no, Tusk came out like 2 years
it's
ago.
Not.
And this movie, Yoga Hosers, is like the sequel to it.
I once saw a book called Uses for Mooses.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man. The moose goes, moose.
Nope. Not...
Moose out front should have told you.
Yeah, first close.
Yeah, dude, Meese are total coal mines. I like it. We could do a show about moose.
And it would be like 5 minutes long.
At this moment, I'm not terribly interested in a Mallrats TV series. Coming from someone who adores
your attitude.
And who has an undying love for Kevin Smith. That may be dying.
He's dying? Or the love is dying?
I love okay. I love Kevin Smith, the personality, just a truck ton. Kevin Smith, the filmmaker, I feel like I have either outgrown or he has ceased making product that I enjoy.
He's a sweater, you know.
He is.
And
we saw firsthand.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, all my profile pictures and shit are me with Kevin Smith, so obviously I enjoy the man.
Yeah, you love the man to death. He's one of your inspirations, and that's fantastic.
He just doesn't make very good moves anymore.
I really appreciate the direction that he's going, though, in making like these weird, strange films that no one else would make, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's stuff that I don't particularly care for, I'm glad that somebody's out there making shit like that.
Like Sting, another musician. The music he's made through the years, I don't really listen to it, but he's making it. And I respect him. Oh, jeez. Randy.
Yeah.
I hear you have a list.
Holy shit, do I have a list.
Like the $2.
If I can get it.
If I can get it. Oh, my number. That guy was funny.
I have here 22 little-known facts about your favorite superheroes.
Oh, shit.
But I'm just going to cherry-pick some of them. I'm not going to go through all 22.
Are these, like, little people superheroes?
Do you want to give us the facts and we'll try and guess which hero it is.
Oh, yes. Let's make it.
Ooh, like, I like it.
Just
like
the facts, this. Ma'am.
Yeah, okay. Blank was once abducted by a set of his armor that had fallen in love with him, and once discarded, missed him being inside of it.
Iron Man?
Who is this hero? Yes. Iron Man / Tony Stark.
Wow. That's pretty good.
I can't imagine why they swept that one under the rug.
So, oh, this one's fun. So, Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch had an incestuous relationship in the Ultimate Universe. Which hero watched them have
Wolverine?
Sex? Yeah, Wolverine. Yep. He's like leering, like creepily.
Yeah, he's all into it. I remember Dave telling us that story, like when the podcast first started.
Yeah, I remember hearing that story somewhere along the line too.
It's creepy. Is there a picture in your list of it?
There is. All it is like a silhouette shot of the two of them just like real close to each other.
Oh, no way.
And it doesn't even show Wolverine in that panel.
Mm. That's a shame.
Okay. This one can't really be formed as a question, but it's interesting, so I'm going to throw it out there. This isn't part of the game. So, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent look very similar when they're out of their respective suits, and that isn't just poor artistry. They actually did that on purpose to show like how similar the two are, and there have even been times when Clark Kent has stepped into Batman's outfit to kind of fill in for him, which has resulted in some pretty interesting scenarios with a super Batman.
Interesting.
I thought that was kind of cool. I never knew that before. The panel that it shows like Superman all ripped out and shit, wearing Batman's suit without the cowl on, but instead of a bat signal on his chest, it's a Superman S, but it's all black and gray and shit.
Oh.
Ooh-la-la. Yeah.
They're like, damn, Batman, you're hitting really hard these days.
So,
lay off the roids.
This one's fun. Who showed Deadpool the fourth wall?
Charles Xavier.
Loki did.
Could break it. Yes, David, Loki.
Oh.
Jeff and Tyler were talking about this the other day.
Really? Oh, that's good.
On the
good.
Comic Corner podcast.
I need to listen to that podcast.
Wow, you got to list in front of you.
I know, but still.
Everything you need to know is on that list.
Which superhero once had a job at a fast food restaurant for a few months? The name of the place was Taco Wiz.
Ooh, I like the sound of that place. DC or Marvel?
DC.
The Flash.
No. You want to take a guess, Justin?
Dick Grayson.
No, it's Wonder Woman. I almost
get
said
a job,
but I thought that would have given it away.
Oh, yeah.
She got Employee of the Month, even though she had to skip shifts to go save the world.
Is she wearing her outfit?
Yeah, she's wearing her outfit. She's got this gray baseball cap that says Taco Wiz on it.
Oh,
and, okay, she's got a tray of food, and in it, there's a taco, what looks like some beans, and fucking spaghetti. And it looks like there's fucking spaghetti in the taco. I'm like,
wow.
Where is this a taco?
I'm Googling Wonder Woman Taco Wiz.
Seriously, look, it's total cover art, too, so I can't imagine they did a very long arc with it, so it's got to be just one book.
I see the cover with the spaghetti taco. Yeah, spaghetti in the taco.
It's fucking spaghetti taco. All right. Here we go for the next one. Blank once flipped personalities and became evil, then turned the entire population of San Francisco super hot and super attractive.
That was Tony Stark. That wasn't too long ago.
Okay, now hopefully in your Googling you didn't find the list that I'm on, so you're not following along here.
No, man, I've gone down the rabbit hole of Taco Wiz.
All right, cool.
I will be there for a while.
Blank used to be a very kindly, genetically modified therapy animal tending to a planet of lunatics. His anger stems
raccoon,
from
Rocket Raccoon.
Yes, he was a service animal.
Oh.
And then his memory got wiped, and he forgot all the people that he cared about, and that pissed him off.
How sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
So the next few don't really work for the game, but they're still interesting.
Cyclops' optic blast comes from another dimension.
I like it. His eyes are a gateway.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's so dreamy.
Tony Stark didn't originally have an arc reactor, but a huge fucking chest plate. His whole rib cage was gone and needed to recharge it every 24 hours or he would die.
Does your list say the F word or are you used to adding that?
No, it says the F word.
What?
This comes courtesy of pref.com, P-R-E-F.com.
If I were a girl, I would cosplay as Wonder Woman Taco Wiz employee. It really seems like a missed opportunity here.
So in early issues of blank, he usually lost his powers to the common cold.
Flash.
Want to take a guess, David?
Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze. I'm going ironic here. Captain Cold.
No, it's Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man!
It's like, oh, I can't fight crime today. I got the sniffles.
Yep. That's probably why they did that in Spider-Man 2.
Oh.
Remember how he's all sick and just not well and he loses his powers for a little bit?
This is dumb. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
This one's kind of interesting. Again, it doesn't work for the game, but it's really fucking cool. So there's a Superman story where Kal-El's pod lands in Gotham and is adopted by the Wayne family, leading to him actually becoming Batman.
That is interesting.
It's fucking interesting.
Why would he want to be Batman? He's Superman. Why would you want to be Batman when you can be Superman?
Super Batman. Because Batman's just more badass.
I don't know. Batman seems like a demotion. Guarantee you Batman wants to be Superman. But never is Superman thought, you know what would it be like to be Bruce?
Okay, blank can eat anything that is matter, from stun beams to an entire galaxy at super speed.
Can eat
Galactus?
Yeah, I was gonna say Galactus.
Eat anything that is matter.
Yeah.
There's no way you're gonna get this.
I can't wait.
Matter eater lad. I'm not even making that.
I should have got that one. I have all of his comics. I can't imagine there's a lot of it.
Jesus tap dancing.
All right, this one is actually kind of appropriate this week. Blank and Muhammad Ali got in a fight, and Ali.
Superman.
Yep, Superman.
And Muhammad Ali won.
Yeah, he did.
It was the greatest.
That's true. Maybe he's just a better boxer. Superman's more of a laser eye, punch hard kind of guy.
It put the gloves on Superman. It took away some of the bite.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, this is interesting. So Scarlet Witch and Vision got married. But because Vision is an android, she used magic to make twin babies out of fragments of a demon's soul.
It's normal. It's what you do.
Then the baby's souls were harvested and reincarnated into two boys who look alike, but are biologically from two different families.
Wow.
Yeah, it makes sense.
The more you know.
Do
they have, like, Scarlet Witch's powers?
It doesn't say.
Oh, dumb list.
When Blank was initially in the New Mutants and X-Force comics, he was nothing like he is now. He was just another generic ninja assassin character that had virtually no personality.
Deadpool?
Yep.
Who was the ninja assassin? When you started the question, I was going to say Cable. But that would have been wrong. Do you know who created Matter Eater Lad? Jerry Siegel, who also created Superman.
Fun fact.
Able to bite through and consume all forms of matter, including that which is supposedly indestructible, like Amazonium? That's a metal, I guess? Or Superman. He can eat Superman.
What about unobtainium? Can he eat that?
He can eat it. It's matter. He can eat it. All forms. Okay. Isn't everything matter?
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
Couldn't they have just said he could eat anything?
There is an established alternate universe in which blank was born a woman and married Captain America.
Ooh.
Civil War never happened in that universe. Presumably. Yeah. Presumably because they were adults who actually communicated effectively with one another. Uh-huh. And then it goes on to say, basically, the whole Civil War could have been avoided by Tony and Steve being gayer than they already are for one another. Hmm.
The new Civil War just started. Like, issue one came out, like, 2 weeks ago, I think?
Civil War 2?
Civil War 2. And now it's interesting because I can't remember who it is, but someone has, like, precognitive abilities. And so the debate is whether or not they should... Kind of basically Minority Report, if they should use, if people are guilty of committing crimes before they commit them, and so they determine, their precog determines where Thanos is going to be, so they go to where he's going to be, but he's not there, and then he punches a hole through Rhodey and kills him.
Huh.
Spoiler alert.
So I got two more for you guys. Archie was once targeted for death by blank due to a wacky misunderstanding.
Predator?
No.
Justin. I just had that series, Archie versus Predator.
Oh, I have no idea.
The Punisher.
Punisher.
That yeah, castle. I was gonna say blank for Archie. I thought that was too weird, too obscure, because I don't really imagine him being in the Marvel Universe like that. All right. This is the last one. Kyle Rayner, one of the five Earth-based Green Lanterns, had a villain called Blank, who killed his girlfriend and stuffed her into the fridge.
Holy shit.
It's like a military name. Fuck.
Snoop Dogg.
Yes, no. It's some dumb pun, but I can't remember right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I'm going to give you a half point for that. It's Major Force.
And so like it started a term called, yeah, it started a term called fridging, and like Gail Simone, like when she was first starting out, she wrote this big like open letter to DC Comics and Marvel Comics about like how women are mistreated, and she used this as like her main example that like it wasn't enough that you had to kill Kyle Rayner's girlfriend, but you had to like stuff her in a fridge.
Yeah. So I think David wins.
Yeah, but they put her in a fridge so she could be frozen and then brought back to life later.
Yeah.
Like no germ. Frozen no germ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Walt Disney.
Yeah. This Matter Eater lad's Wikipedia page is way too big for someone as stupid as he is. He's actually been around for a while. He's not a one and done type kid.
Shit. That was a fantastic list.
Yeah, wasn't it?
It was. Anything else you got?
I got nothing.
What about you, Justin? You got nothing? You got anything? You want to talk about your E3 coverage?
Oh, man. It's all over the place.
The future Pixelated podcast?
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of fun shit. I will say that Sony killed it today. They just came out and they didn't talk a whole lot. All they did was show amazing looking games. And, I am very scared on some of them.
What was your like one or two or three favorite things they showed?
So the new God of War trailer was pretty neat. I was just excited to get to see Kratos again.
And is it a follow up to God of War 3?
Yeah. It takes place after he's got another kid and time's passed, and it deals with like Norse things, like Norse gods and stuff. So that should be fun. Then there was this other trailer, this new zombie game called Days Gone, and it's straight up like World War Z with massive hordes of zombies coming at you, and it looks scary, man. It's not a Dave Edmondson game. Like, they are just jumping over barns and running out and just giant mobs. Like it looks like somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 NPCs on the screen at once. Like, character models. It looks intense, and they're running really fast at you, and you gotta shoot them down, and I can't imagine how scary that game's gonna be. That looks really, really good. That was one of my big takeaways, was that one. And then of course we got to see Last Guardian, and not only that, but we also got a release date. Last Guardian's now coming out in October, which is exciting. It's finally here. The only thing is, Will it live up to the hype? I think it's going to be its own worst enemy. It's just one of those things where this debuted at E3 in 2009 for the PS3, right? And then in 2012, it switched to PS4 development, and now it's already almost, by the time the game comes out on October 25th, it's already almost 2017. So that's just one of those things where people have been waiting forever, and it's either going to be a swing and a miss or a home run.
Is it? You think it's going to fall into like Duke Nukem Forever territory, to where people are just over it by the time it comes out?
I hope not. I think that they had to spend enough time on this to really get it right. I can't imagine it having a happy ending. I'm probably going to cry, and I hope it lands.
Yeah. Well, those Team ICO guys aren't big on happy endings.
Yeah, I know, and it's probably going to be sad.
You know, the dog thing's going to die.
Yeah, the turkey dog. Yeah. And then Crash Bandicoot's finally making a reappearance.
Did he come out with a megaphone like you wanted him to?
No, God. But when the guy was walking on stage, his shadow was Crash Bandicoot, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
And they're going to be three Bandicoot games built from the ground up for PlayStation 4. And so that's cool. And then he's also going to make an appearance in Skylanders Imaginators.
Oh, nice.
So,
I love Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, so that's an opportunity to get a Crash Bandicoot toy, I imagine. There was a company a long time ago called Resaurus that made Crash Bandicoot toys, and they look like they just pulled them right out of the video game. They looked fantastic, so. good shit. And then you also got news of the new Xbox One, codenamed Project Scorpio. That's due out in holiday 2017, and it's boasting being the most powerful console ever. So even though the PlayStation Neo has yet to have a formal announcement with all of its specs laid out, Microsoft is confident that they got what it takes to beat it.
Now, is Scorpio a brand new console, or is it Xbox One?
It's a more powerful Xbox One, yeah.
So it will play Xbox One games?
Absolutely. Or? Everything that is available on the Xbox One, whether it be controllers, games, headsets, what have yous, it will work on the Project Scorpio.
Now, does it work the other way? Or are there going to be Scorpio-exclusive titles, or is it going to be like the Neo, to where it just runs better on the Scorpio?
I think it's going to be what you just said. It'll run better on the Scorpio. Okay. All games will still say, you know, for Xbox One, and then just based on your hardware, it'll pump out what it can. Just like a computer game.
So unlike Nintendo, the other two are upgrading, not replacing.
Correct. Correct. Backwards compatibility for current stuff. As dumb as that sounds. Interesting note, though. Felix discovered that the Xbox Slim, and probably same goes for the Scorpio, it will not have the Kinect ports in the back, but there will be a USB adapter, so that'll work.
Do you think they're going to have Kinect support for Scorpio?
Yeah, I think there'll be a device that you plug in your Kinect to if you have one. Oh, I think that's how that'll work. Like some sort of adapter that plugs into the USB.
Oh, so if you own the current Xbox One, you can still use the Kinect you have currently with it.
Yes. Otherwise, their statement of true backwards compatibility would reign false.
Microsoft wouldn't lie to us like that.
Mm. We shall see. But no, it was a relatively mediocre show. PlayStation did kill it, though.
And Nintendo's going to have their little treehouse thing tomorrow, right?
Yeah, which is going to be pretty lame. You'll see some Zelda, but no one. I mean, it's cool and all, but it's not coming out until March of next year. So, who really gives a shit?
Now, do you think that Zelda's coming out in March because that's when the NX is coming out?
Yeah, they're going to launch. They're going to launch side by side. It'll be
I was going to say, but do you think it's ready? It could be shipped tomorrow if it wasn't for the NX?
I don't know the answer to that. Maybe. They've been working on it for a while.
Yeah, I just didn't know if the NX was screwing my 2016 up.
Well, I think that if the Wii U has taught us anything, it's that you do not need to be an early adopter for this next console. I think that you are better off waiting.
I know I should, but I won't.
I know, and I'm probably in the same boat as you, but with given the state of the PS4 and the Xbox One, and even the library that's current with the Wii U, to me, there's no reason to get on board with the NX unless it absolutely blows you away, and they can launch it with AAA titles right out of the gate. Yeah. None of this launch window in the next 8 months, you're going to see these things, but it's here's the NX, here's all these amazing games we're going to launch with it, and this is why you should buy it. And
we still don't know about the controller, right?
Don't know jack shit about it. Don't know a goddamn thing about the NX.
And we're not going to find out tomorrow either, are we?
Yep. I would think the soonest that you would have a hands-on would be at Gamescom in August, and there is no real, certainty that that's even a thing. They might have their own special event leading up before Gamescom and then do it, but if that's the case, then they should have pumped really hard to get it ready for E3.
Yeah.
But maybe they just don't want to spend the money. I mean, it's a lot of work to go to Los Angeles and set up all that shit, so...
Yeah, we're sitting with San Diego with a lot of studios skipping it just because it costs so much money. So,
yeah,
I mean, Blizzard doesn't go to E3.
They got their own thing.
Yeah,
they don't need to.
Yeah, they can spend just as much money and have a show just exclusively dedicated to them.
Yeah,
or they can charge money and make some money.
Exactly.
As far as Nintendo, Nintendo's a big enough company. I'm surprised they don't do like more with like a Nintendo World type event.
Yeah, they could. I mean, they have that. They have that big store in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, I everything you say makes 100% sense. Like, I shouldn't want to buy an NX, but I just like right now I say like, oh, I'm not gonna buy one. But like, when March rolls around, it's like my birthday, and I'm like, well, maybe I'll get it for my birthday, and my kids will be like, oh, we should get it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I would think that if they had enough ready for it, then they'd be able to talk about it right now. And because they're not, and it's already June, and this shit's supposed to come out in March of next year, I'm scared. I just don't think that they're going to have the titles to support it, and I don't think it's worth it. And fast forward to Christmas of 2017, when you're going to have a brand new PS4, a brand new Xbox One, Nintendo's going to have to put a lot of shit in that box to make you want to get it.
Right, and that's what scares me, too, is that I almost think that Nintendo, in their head, wants to save all their AAA titles for October.
Yeah, they're fucking crazy.
Like launch with Zelda on the NX, and hope that buys you enough goodwill till September, October, and then drop Metroid, Mario, Smash Brothers, whatever you're gonna launch.
Why would I buy an NX when I can buy when I already have all those games on the Wii U and I can play the new Zelda game on the Wii U?
That's what I'm saying. Is to where they'll save their heavy guns to go head to head with the new PlayStation Xboxes. Like they won't give you a reason to buy it until like they'll get all the early adopters in March. It'll sell out in March because there's always enough early adopters, and then they'll just stockpile, and then all of a sudden October, when everything switches to the Scorpio and the Neo, then all of a sudden like, oh, here, check it out, we got new Super Mario Brothers NX, and we got fucking Super Smash Brothers Brawl Melee Extreme Sports Package 2.
Yeah, they're fucking crazy. And these amiibos, no one's buying them anymore. People are over it. You can buy, the new Kirby lineup just went out, and they're all right here on Amazon, available to get tomorrow if I want.
Yeah.
Fucking all those stupid Animal Crossing amiibos that they launched, they're all on Amazon for $3 right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to buy any more because I don't know if they're going to work on the NX.
Yeah, they're just fucking stupid. They killed it. They killed their own market.
Yeah.
First you couldn't get them. And then they made it to where they just made an amiibo for every dumb fucking character that they have.
Yeah.
They ruined everything.
They need to go out and say that amiibos work on the NX so people continue to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to know that they're not just going to be pretty statues, come March of next year.
Yeah, they're fucking crazy.
Yeah, the only amiibo I'd be interested in now is if they released a NES amiibo, from Earthbound.
But didn't they already do that?
They did Lucas from Earthbound. I got him.
I thought they did a NES first.
No, I don't think so.
I thought they did a NES at the same time they did a Splatoon. Yeah, they did.
Did they really?
Yeah. He's got a little red hat.
Well, I guess I missed that boat.
Yeah. You can get it for $18 well, that's on Amazon. $18. Do it.
No,
get it by bad. Wednesday. No, not at all. I don't know, man. And this is coming from someone that loves Nintendo. I mean, you guys know I have a tattoo of Bowser on my arm, for crying out loud.
Yep.
So this isn't me just spouting out hateful rhetoric towards Nintendo. I love the company, love the characters.
You're such a fanboy for Sony.
They need to check out the hiring pool of the fresh college graduates that have ideas on how to make money, because it's not working.
Now it seems like they're actively trying to alienate and upset people.
I know. I don't understand. And you can have your first party content. That's where they make their money. It's made by Nintendo for Nintendo, and that's fantastic. But they can't have one game a year. They need something like every 3 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
I'm with you.
They're fucking crazy. Anyway, I can't talk about it. I'm getting upset.
Sorry. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for a fun episode. Yeah, if you stuck through the end of the podcast, let's think of a fun hashtag. Hashtag, was it Matter Eater Lad? Is that his name, Randy?
Yeah, Matter Eater Lad.
All right. Hashtag Matter Eater Lad. And we'll do a random drawing, and whoever we pick will get the first season of Vinyl on Blu-ray.
I thought we gave that away last week.
No one sent me a meme. I appreciate it.
Oh, that JFK one you sent me was pretty terrible.
That was
I sent you that one.
Oh, okay.
That was Randy. That one was pretty terrible. So yeah, if you have a JFK one, extra bonus points. But yeah, just say you made it the end of the episode. Hashtag Matter Eater Lad, exactly how it sounds. And yeah, make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and make sure you listen to their podcast, Pixelated Podcast. You got a little sneak peek of what Friday's episode of the Pixelated Podcast will be, where Justin and Steven will talk all things E3. And you know, Tyler and Jeff are still doing the Comic Corner podcast, still pumping out a really fun show. It's great, if nothing else, just to listen to Jeff and Tyler just banter back and forth, because they have very different views on comic books a lot of times. So make sure you check them out, and go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews.